The state's Department of Environmental Services is going through the public comments as it weighs how much of the contaminants PFOA and PFOS to allow in drinking water in the state. These are the chemicals that have contaminated wells in southern New Hampshire, on the former Pease Air Force Base, and countless other locations around the country and the world. NHPR's Emily Corwin has been covering these contaminants and talked to residents who weighed in on the state's standard for PFOA and PFOS. Courtney Carrigan is one of those people. Carrigan lives in Portsmouth and is a research fellow at Harvard, where she focuses on environmental health. She has been vocal in her concerns about these contaminants, and she submitted her comments to the State Department of Environmental Services last Friday. Here is Emily Corwin's conversation with Carrigan about her letter to state regulators.
Courtney, thanks for chatting with me.
Thank you for having me.
So before I get to asking you about the comments that you submitted, let me back up and just lay out some basics about PFOA and PFOS. These are water contaminants that the Center for Disease Control says may cause adverse health effects like kidney cancer and increased cholesterol. I know you feel the question of causation and health effects is more established than the Fed's language lets on. Now, the federal government doesn't regulate these contaminants, but it did issue an advisory stating that drinking water should have a concentration of fewer than 70 parts per trillion of the contaminants in order to be safe. And if New Hampshire doesn't receive feedback to convince it otherwise, the state will likely adopt this as its enforceable regulatory standard. Do you think that the federal advisory level of 70 parts per trillion is safe enough to be the state's standard?
So I do think that it should probably be lower. I support adoption of an enforceable standard at the state level. I think that's a really good idea. I wrote this letter to encourage the DES to consider some of the criticisms that have been made of the EPA guidance values and to consider actions being taken by other states to, you know, create their own advisory levels or to look at that data in their own way.
What are some of those criticisms of the EPA's advisory level?
So there's concern that the current standard really doesn't adequately consider the increased persistence of these chemicals in humans compared to animals, that it doesn't consider the human studies of effects on immune function and cancer, and also doesn't consider the increased exposure and susceptibility during early life.
Early life, like pre...
So during fetal development and in infancy.
It sounds like the EPA's advisory is based on animal studies and not on the human studies that have taken place?
Right. Part of the issue is that traditionally the human studies really aren't used in the process of developing our water quality standards.
Is this part of your feedback to the state that you think those human studies should be part of their consideration of what the regulatory standard is set at?
Yes, that's right. So I'm an environmental epidemiologist, and when I look at the epidemiologic studies that have looked at cancer and have looked at immune function, you know, you see effects on those endpoints at general population exposure levels. So it's really unclear to me how the EPA guidance ended up, you know, adopting these 70 parts per trillion guidance value.
So your letter to state drinking water regulators in New Hampshire asks for them to wait for New Jersey's Drinking Water Quality Institute to come out with some of their own recommendations. This Drinking Water Quality Institute, it's part of New Jersey's Department of Environmental Protection?
I think because New Jersey has had a lot of issues with groundwater quality and environmental contamination in the past, they have a pretty robust set of laws governing how to deal with environmental contamination in the state. This is a group of people who have been working on this question about PFCs for probably a decade now.
So what do you think will come out of New Jersey's Water Quality Institute's recommendations on PFOA and PFOS?
I guess I'm expecting it to be lower, just based on the comments that people from that group made on the EPA guidance value before it was adapted. And also the fact that they're even going ahead with issuing their own document suggests to me that they might have some differing opinions from the EPA guidance.
Okay. So Courtney Carrigan, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
That was epidemiologist Courtney Carrigan speaking with NHPR's Emily Corwin. And this is All Things Considered on New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Peter Biello.